EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We won't report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
Number 71, Papa Golf, go ahead.
Was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
Number 71, Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merger 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there. Same airplanes.
County dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
We're about to take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. If you're a fan of the show and would like to help support the podcast by becoming a patron, head on over to www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles podcast or hit the link below, where you can find out about the show and the rewards available to you. Plus, as an added bonus, every new patron gets a shout out on the show. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Hi, thank you.
Really appreciate you coming on today. You've had several abduction experiences since early childhood.
Yes.
Can you start with some of your early memories, please, Mike?
Certainly, yeah. My whole life, I've had just memories of, in the night, something coming into my room, just the presence entering my room from like very, very early childhood. Until I got a bit older, I'd always just thought it was some kind of night terror or, you know, bad dreams or something like that. I'd never really had an explanation for them, except one memory that I have when I was 8 years old. I remember, because I grew up in South Yorkshire in a little village called Morrens. Totally isolated little village in the middle of nowhere. There was very, very little noise around at night. And as soon as I heard anything at night, I'd jump out of my bed. I'd be terrified. But yeah, when I was 8 years old, I have a memory. I was laid in bed. I was having a conversation with someone in my head, which at the time, because I was 8 years old, I thought I was having a conversation with an imaginary friend, which... as bizarre as that sounds. But what was weird is I wasn't really controlling the voice that was talking to me. It was all spontaneous, the things that it was saying to me. And I remember it saying to me, would you like to meet a spaceman? Which that question, for some reason, it scared me as a little kid. And I was like, oh, you know, I told it only if you're not a scary spaceman. So the voice then asked me, to me, what would be a scary spaceman? I remember telling it, if it looked like a Monster Munch, if I don't know if you're familiar with the creatures on the Monster Munch packets, back in the early 80s, the ad campaign for Monster Munch were these giant friendly Muppets. To me, I thought that would be kind of cool, meeting a Monster Munch at 8 years old. And then as soon as I thought it, I had this image in my head of this super HD Monster Munch puppet just straight in front of me. And as soon as I saw it, I thought, that's terrifying, because it was just, obviously, it was too real. So I told the voice, no, that's maybe not that. And then I thought an Ewok from Star Wars, because Return of the Jedi had been out about 3 years at that point. Rather than actually send me another image, it said, oh, just open your curtains and see what you think. So I climbed out of bed, all excited, thinking I'm going to meet a cuddly creature of some kind. Whipped open my curtains, and there floating outside of my bedroom window was a grey, archetypical grey, just floating inches from my glass. And at that point, I was just frozen with fear. Literally, I remember that. I remember seeing it, and then the memory just stops. And then even at that age, I remember waking up the next morning, knowing that was absolutely real, but not knowing what the hell I'd seen. Because, I mean, this is back in, I think it's like 1985, I think this was, 1986 maybe. It would have been 1986 because I was, yeah, at that age. So I'd have been six. So I'm trying to place it because of the Monster Munch adverts and things like that. So I would have been six, not eight. And yeah, the next morning, I was so convinced I'd seen something that I was looking through all my mother's wildlife books, bird books, because I thought it must be a real creature that I've seen. But obviously up to that age, I've never seen anything like that. And because of the time, I'd never been exposed to an image of an actual grey, because back in the media back then, there was nothing like that. You know, there was no, there weren't in science fiction, there was no X-Files, there's nothing like that. So for years, I was looking for this creature, because in my head, it was like maybe some kind of monkey or bat creature, but I just remembered those giant black eyes. So I was just constantly looking for something that sort of fit that image. Throughout my childhood, I'd remember waking up in the night after that event, just being paralyzed. So I'd wake up and then for no reason, like at 3 a.m. or early hours of the morning, and I'd just be paralyzed within seconds of waking up. And then at that age, I didn't know what that was. I mean, I thought I was having some kind of epilepsy or something like that. But I do have memories of seeing things moving around my room. And then as I got older, I started getting curious about the paralysis. Because, I mean, this had happened maybe, I don't know, about five times a year, just at random times throughout the year. So I remember getting curious and thinking, oh, I've not been paralyzed in a while. I was actually wondering, you know, it might be cool if it happened again, and then try and remember what happened. Because I could always remember waking up paralyzed, but then I wouldn't remember anything after that. I'd remember waking up the next day. I remember one night actually going to bed thinking, if it happens, just stay alert and figure out what's going on and just see what happens afterwards. Because I was getting curious. And I remember just trying to stay alert, because I remember waking up just after deciding to do this, waking up completely paralyzed in early hours of the morning, and then just trying to stay alert. So then I remember the room flashing. Yellow and red light just flashing everywhere. I couldn't really focus on anything because I couldn't move my eyes. I couldn't really focus. I was just, when it happens, you've got no awareness of where your limbs or anything's at. You just have awareness. You wake up and nothing works. So I'm laid there and I'm just trying to stay alert. And then suddenly I see these heads just moving around my bed. And at that moment, I'm like, I couldn't believe how stupid I'd been to actually want this to happen, because suddenly it went from being just an interesting experience to, oh my God, I'm going to get killed. It's like suddenly being in the water with a shark. I was just absolutely terrified. And my last memory from that event is I remember lurching from my bed as if someone had just lifted me from the bed, and just seeing the ceiling just come inches from my face. And then I just start moving towards my bedroom window, and then that's where the memory ends. You know, I think I would have been about 10 or 11 back when that happened. And then my next strong memory I have of a childhood event happened when I was 13 years old, having a sleepover at my friend's house. I've actually, this event, years later, I had hypnotic regression in 1996. Because in 1995 was when I actually started putting pieces together and I actually realised what had actually been happening to me as a little kid. So in 1996, I got in contact with a group called Bufosk, based in Cheshire, and talked to a guy called Eric Morris, who arranged to meet me at my house to do a hypnotic regression to try and uncover some memories. And the memory I chose was the memory of when I was actually stopping at my friend's house. Because what I'd remembered up until that point was waking up in the early hours of the morning. Because what we'd done is we'd decided, because there was only one bed to sleep in when I was stopping at my friend's house, David's house. And we decided to sleep top and tail. Because obviously we're 13 years old, and you know, we even chose to sleep in our street clothes because we're that homophobic in 1990. you know, as 13-year-old boys, like, if anything got out that we'd share the bed, we're terrified of, like, you know, being teased. So I remember waking up paralyzed in the bed in David's room. And then I remember the end of the, you know, out about an hour later, being laid in side by side next to David, just absolutely emotionally destroyed, like something really terrible had happened. And I remember trying to hold on to some memories, like as if my memories were being stripped away from me. And the only image I could remember was as a glass elevator from the glass, specifically the glass elevator from the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory story, and an upside down flying train carriage. For some reason, those were the only two images I could gather, and I couldn't figure out what these images meant. So in 96, when I had my regression, I really wanted to figure out what all this was about, because it was such a bizarre, you know, memory to just hold on to. So what had actually happened that night, under regression, I remember a spotlight hitting David's window. Like, it was as if someone had just shone just an incredible light straight through his bedroom window. And then I remember being paralyzed. And I remember shadows moving in front of the window and then something coming through it, literally as if the ghosts walking through a wall. The problem is, again, because I was paralyzed, I couldn't really focus. I could see shapes moving around, but I couldn't really focus on what was going on. I remember being lifted out of David's bed and literally as if I was filled with helium, just being moved across the room, moving through the window, which I can still remember the feeling of it. It's like being immersed in cold water. So it's as you pass through solid matter, it's you just feel the transition from just still warm air to cold air on the outside. And then I remember being under this spotlight outside and then zipping up, feeling the wind as I accelerate upwards. And I remember being just suddenly in a room. So it was if one minute I'm moving really fast and the next minute I just halt. So there's no deceleration or anything like that. Just suddenly I just come up through, like, it's like a manhole. I come up and I'm under this spotlight in a domed room. I remember being pulled to the side, standing on the floor in this room, and it was literally on the edge of this manhole. And then there was a conical ramp around the manhole leading up to a slightly higher floor. I remember being led up the ramp. Around the outside of this room was a low bench, and I remember being stripped. At the time, I found this really, really distressing. I could barely remember the creatures around me. I could just remember bald heads, because I'm stood upright, and at the age, I would have been about 5 foot five, something like that. So I was way above. So I just remember these heads moving around me, and I remember them taking my clothes off and not being able to resist, because it was literally as if I had no control of my body. They could move my limbs as they wanted. There's nothing I could do. So yeah, they stripped me and they placed my clothes on the bench and they led me down a long corridor. They then led me into a room where they conducted several medical type, I don't know, experiments or procedures on me. I remember in one of them, I was put into like a dentist chair. I remember a cage being put around my face and I remember a needle going into the back of my head. I remember the incredible pain of that needle going in, because the position of where it is, I know there's a lot of nerves there. And even though I was paralyzed and I could barely feel my body, I could remember that intense pain of that needle going in. After that, I mean, there's more stuff that happened. I was laid on another bench. I remember them cutting a hole in my rib cage and doing something there. I mean, there's more stuff that happened there, but I really don't want to talk about. It gets quite... it's more reproductive, if you know what I mean. And at age 13, after, you know, that was incredibly distressing. So after that, literally, I remember being lifted off the bench. It was like a metal bed, almost like an autopsy table. I remember getting lifted off that, led back down the length of this corridor, back into the room where they dress me, and I remember being really belligerent because it was almost as if the paralysis was wearing off. So I was almost fighting them off as they're trying to dress me. From there, they led me down the ramp into the manhole, literally dropped me down back, because David's house, it's surrounded on all sides by fields. So I remember being dropped across the road from his house in a field, being led back through the wall. This time I'm walking, and they're not carrying me or anything like that. Back into David's bedroom. And then I remember them just laying me in the bed. And I'm just, at this point, I am just furious because it's literally, as a 13-year-old boy, all this stuff should have, it felt to me like it should have been really cool because aliens exist. You know what I mean? It's the spaceships, like, you know, science fiction's real. But what had actually happened, it was just, I felt like just an animal that had been captured, tagged, and then returned. With no words, nothing spoken, just we grab you from the bed and then we just throw you back. You know, like a fish, just lifted out of a river and then just thrown back. No idea what's going on. So I was furious. So basically they put me back in the bed, but the wrong way round. So I was laid next to David in the bed. And I remember for some reason, because I was angry, I remember telling them, I'm going to tell everyone. This, you know, you're not going to get away with this. And I remember one of them saying to me, you won't remember anything. So, which to me, I'm like, I bloody will remember, you know, because I was outraged. So they left. I'm laid in David's bed and I'm just thinking, I'm going to remember this. I'm going to bloody remember, because there's no way. But then I can feel my memory literally as if little segments are being robbed. And I could feel it being pulled away from me. And I was outraged. So then I started trying to find strategies to try to remember what had happened to me. So I forgot to mention this. As I was flying up to the craft and back down, I could see that the craft was a cigar shape and it had windows dotted along the bottom. So from underneath, it looked like a train carriage in the sky upside down. So I decided to try and use things that I knew to remember the things I'd seen, because I was realizing the stuff that was going was the stuff that was completely unfamiliar to me. So I decided it's an upside down train carriage flying in the sky, and the going up to the thing and coming back down, I thought, imagine a glass elevator like Charlie in the Chocolate Factory taking you up and bringing you back down. And that's the memory that I managed to retain. And then after all that, those being the only things that I could remember, I emotionally, it was terrible. Because it was literally like, I don't know, they'd taken something really personal from me. And a part of me knew they'd just ripped out my memory and left me with just nothing, basically. Just these two images I'd managed to retain and just feeling really upset that that had happened. And then when the paralysis left my body, I realised I'm laid next to David. And I thought, if David wakes up and finds me like this, he's going to tease me forever. So I got out of bed. And as I got out of bed, my trousers dropped to my ankles, because what they'd done, I had a button fly, and they buttoned all the buttons. I only had probably half the buttons, and they'd done them in the wrong way because I'd been fighting them off while they were trying to dress me. So then I remember standing in David's room, sort of rebuttoning my clothes, getting back into bed the other way, and then laying there. I probably laid there for about half an hour, just trying to get back to sleep. No, it would have been an hour, because I think that was about 4 a.m. And then I ended up getting out of bed at 5 a.m., just not able to sleep. And I went into David's living room and just started watching television until his mum woke up at 6. But I just couldn't. I just felt like I'd just been just beaten up. It was awful. I mean, just in my mind, it was just so traumatic. But then all this came out during the regression. And even though the encounter itself was really negative, I just felt like a weight had just been lifted off my chest. I actually felt great coming out of the regression. But obviously, it was quite a negative encounter. So it wasn't great, but at the same time, it was such a relief just knowing what had happened that night. So yeah, I mean that was me. That was sort of probably my last childhood encounter. So yeah, after that, I didn't really have an experience until after 1995, which is when I'd actually realised I'd actually been a part, you know, I'd actually had close encounter experiences. Up until that point, I just thought I'd had night terrors or sleep paralysis, which I knew about at that time. You know, I'd always had like little flashbacks that I'd never been able to place. Like I had a memory of a wrinkled creature yelling at me. It's like a wrinkled brown entity, like wearing a monk's robe, and it had a staff, like a long wooden stick that it was like as a walking stick kind of thing. And I remember yelling at me, just that memory just flashing in my mind as a teenager, and never been having a place to put that memory. But then obviously in 1995, when I started putting two and two together, I sort of realized all this was part of the same thing. And as I remembered stuff, and as I started to think about the flashbacks I'd had, I started to get more memories coming back. So up until that time, it was all just weird nonsense that I'd just never been able to rationalize. I mean, growing up, I thought I might have some kind of mental disorder or something like that. I thought there was something clinically wrong with me because of all this weird stuff. Like I'd be terrified at the sight of something that shouldn't terrify me, like a barn owl. Just seeing a barn owl face, the first time I saw a picture of a barn owl in a wildlife book, that terrified me. And it was because the face of a barn owl looks like a grey. But as a little kid, when I saw a picture of a barn owl, it was like, oh my God. But then I didn't know why I was having that reaction, if you know what I mean. So then in 1995, I could, for the first time, literally just tie all these things together. And I could feel myself over the years just being able to deal with it. You know, obviously now I could put a label on all these things. I could actually move on with my life. Like another example, there's a pub near where I live called the Harlequin Pub, and it had this prancing harlequin on the signage outside. And I remember being terrified of that. And I didn't realize until after 1995 that it had a black mask on, and it had this really childish kind of frame. So it had a big head and a little body. And as a kid, that must have reminded me of a grey, but I didn't know why. I didn't know what a grey was back then, so I just found it scary for no reason. And it just my childhood was just full of little incidents like that. So then in 1995, I started actually being able to remember things properly. And then in 1996, obviously after my first regression, I knew for sure, because the one thing the regression did for me is it showed me the full thing. I could actually see, I could put all those events together and remember everything that had happened. And suddenly it was real, and there was no getting past it anymore. But yeah, and then I had, once I had my regression, once I realised in 1995 what had happened to me, it started happening again. Which I don't know if they know what's going on in our heads, or if they know when we're thinking about them. I got to a point where I was so paranoid, I didn't want to even, you know, draw them anymore. Back in, because in 1996, after my regression, I went through a phase of just drawing them all the time. But then I was still having a lot of encounters around about that time. And I got to a point where I decided me drawing them was bringing them to me. So I got to a point where I just didn't want to talk about it, didn't want to draw them, didn't want to have anything to do with the subject at all. But that didn't stop it from happening, obviously. It continued until about, I'd say, 2007, 2008, sometime around then. But no, they've stopped since. Since 2008, I've not had a single encounter, which I'm glad, you know, don't get me wrong, but it's weird because it's this big unanswered question there. You know, I don't know what that part of my life is. You know, it's them coming, taking me. What was it all for? You know, and it had a massive effect on me as a kid. probably more so because I didn't know what was going on.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
I had a few adult encounters as well. After my kids were born, I got really, really paranoid. I was terrified of them coming and taking my kids. Not so much just stealing my kids, but so much as exposing them to the same experiences I had as a kid, because I knew how much it messed me up. So I tried to fight the paralysis when it would happen. You know, anything I could do to stop them from coming to my house, I'd try to do. I've got one memory where after my son was born, when he was a toddler, actually, he had a habit of getting out of his bed and then climbing into me and my wife's bed. And we were trying to discourage that because obviously, you know, me and my wife were working long hours. And also we were worried about hurting him, like rolling onto him, because he was a really little toddler. So what I did is my bedroom door, I reversed the door handles. So to open the door, you'd have to raise the door handle to open the door, which is enough to fool a toddler. So it worked at least once that I can remember. So he got out of bed, he rattled the door handle, and then he's, "Dad, let me in." So, you know, get out of bed and then lead him back into his own bed and tuck him in and stuff like that. And so after this had happened, so we kept the door handle the way it was, you know, upside down. And I remember waking up just randomly one night and seeing light around my bedroom door. And as soon as I noticed the light, I noticed I was paralyzed as well, because I woke up like that. So it was like, oh crap, I'm being abducted. You know, it's happening again. So instantly terrified. And then I could see shadows moving in the light. And then the door handle rattled. And I'm like, you know, obviously this is it. I'm being abducted. But then I also remembered my son doing the same thing when he tried to get into the bedroom. And as soon as I had that thought, I heard my son on the other side of the door saying, "Dad, let me in. You know, can I come in? And so then the paralysis lifts and I'm thinking, oh, it's my son. It's all fine. So I get out of bed, open the door, and then on the other side of the door is three greys. And the last thing I remember is the one at the front putting his hand to my face and rushing me. And then the memory just ends. And then I woke up the next day with that memory fresh in my mind and just feeling absolutely just outraged that had happened to me. Because obviously the trick of using my son's voice to get me out of bed, it infuriated me. I just couldn't believe that they'd stooped that low. And I realized as well that they could hear my subvocal thoughts, because as soon as I saw that door handle rattle, I remembered my son doing the exact same thing. So they just reflected that memory back at me to get me to come out of bed. And I was outraged, just absolutely outraged that they'd done that. So then round about that time, in fact, it might have been that event, I have a memory of the wrinkled brown creature saying to me, "You'd make life a lot easier if you cut down the tree outside your bedroom window. That would never have to happen again." It's something like that. I remember him telling me that it'd be a lot easier if I didn't have a tree outside my bedroom window. So obviously I did bugger all about that. I didn't want them coming to me in the first place, because there was a conifer tree straight outside my bedroom window and it was blocking my window. And obviously, I don't know, it must have been affecting them in some way where they had to come to my bedroom through like a different route. They couldn't just come straight from my bedroom window. I don't know if organic matter interferes with you know, the path that they choose to come through your house or whatever. But it seemed to me basically that he was just causing them problems. And my next abduction after that, I going back to that early encounter where they got me to come out of my own bed to see the grey outside my window. I had a similar event when I was, you know, just after, you know, the door handle encounter. Basically, I remember my cat talking to me, which is daft as it sounds. I had a cat called Meg, and I remember Meg telling me, "Oh, you come downstairs, come look in the garden." So I remember getting out of bed, having this conversation with my cat, which I must have been pretty much dreaming when this happened. But I remember getting out of bed, going down my stairs, going, okay, I'll see what's going on, to this cat that was in my head, going downstairs, going to the living room window, and then Meg saying, "No, have a look in the garden." So I open the curtains, and there's nothing there. And I'm like, "There's nothing there, Meg, what are you doing?" And as soon as I think that, she says, "Oh, no, look under the tree. So I look under the tree, and then I see, I remember two, usually I see them in threes, but I remember two greys materialising under my cherry tree at the bottom of my garden, which it was like a magic trick. It was almost like they'd been there all along, but for some reason me looking there just made them sort of like, I don't know, it's really hard to describe. It wasn't like a special effect. It was like a magic eye image. It just sort of seemed to come out of the background and suddenly there's two greys there. But they were there all along. I knew they were there all along. But for some reason, me looking at them made me see them, if you know what I mean. And as soon as I saw the greys, I snapped awake instantly. I was just like, because I knew, oh no, this is real. You know, because up until that point, I was half awake. And then suddenly I'm full awake. Realize what's happened. I realize Meg's not involved. My cat's nowhere near. It was all in my head. And suddenly I'm wide awake and there's two greys in the bottom of my garden. So I start hammering on my living room window, just screaming at these greys. And then I get paralyzed. In fact, I get paralyzed and I'm absolutely outraged. And back then, because I would have been about 22, something like that, I was mad into fitness and running, cycling, you know, boxing, stuff like that. So I focused entirely on my body because, you know, with my breathing and things like that, I did anything I could do to fight the paralysis. And as I did, I started to get control of my body again. I think because I was so angry, I could actually literally break through the paralysis. So then I start hammering on the window again. The last thing I remember is running around my house looking for my back door keys because I want to get through my door and I want to get them because I was so mad. But then I just don't remember anything after that, so I don't know what happened. I have a memory of hearing the fence panels at the bottom of my garden rattling like someone was climbing over the fence, but that's literally all I can remember. After that, it's just a blank, and I woke up in my bed the next day. I think that was probably one of my last encounters. I mean, after that, I have one more that I can think of. I suffer terribly from insomnia because while my encounters are happening, I find it really hard to sleep because I feel like I'm going to be woken up at any moment and I'm going to be in the middle of an abduction. So I used to have really bad insomnia. And I remember one night sitting downstairs reading, avoiding going to bed. And while I'm sat in my downstairs chair, I remember just the feeling the paralysis creep onto me. And as I'm paralyzed, I remember seeing one grey enter my living room. And then the paralysis it got stronger and stronger to the point where I could barely perceive anything in the living room at all. And then I remember coming back to hearing my own voice talking to the grey, which it really freaked me out because what it made me feel like I had some kind of split personality. Like I could literally hear myself having a conversation with this grey. And I can remember the grey saying to me, "He's awake." And then I remember being paralyzed. I remember seeing the grey leave my living room. And then I remember it must have been about 2 minutes. No, not even that. Probably just a minute if tops. And I remember the paralysis lifting and me just sat there just thinking, what the hell just happened? I got out of my chair, I explored the house, made sure there was nothing. I remember going outside and looking at the sky just to see if there was anything there. But I was totally freaked out because I'd had this physical memory of seeing a grey come into the room, but then hearing my own voice talking to it really, really freaked me out. But yeah, that's pretty much my last encounter. After that, I had another regression session in 2008 with a different regressionist, but that, he didn't really uncover anything. It was more, because the lady who did it, she was a past life regressionist, and I got a load of past life stuff, which is not what I was after. I'd remembered, because I woke up paralyzed in my bedroom, and I remember hearing footsteps coming up to my room, and I remember seeing my pet cat sit at the top of the stairs, stare at me for a while I'm paralyzed. I remember the paralysis, shifting, getting stronger and weaker. I remember seeing colours, things like that, because I can't focus again. I could just about make out the cat at the top of the stairs, and I remember the cat going back downstairs, and then I remember just the paralysis lifting, and then as I get my body back and I start to move again, I feel shifting at my feet, and that's where my cat's been throughout this entire experience. So then under regression, I discovered that was an actual grey that had entered my room. It was like a tablet PC. It was like an iPad, literally. And he had a stylus, and he's holding the stylus up, waving it around, looking at this tablet. And then as he's moving the stylus around, I could feel the paralysis changing. But at the time, I saw my cat. So I always, as I'd read about screen memories, I always thought, oh no, it's your memory that they've edited. But what I discovered in that experience is, no, you actually see the cat. During the experience, you see a cat. But if you use regression to re-remember it, you see what actually happened. And that blew me away, because I'd always assumed it was different. I always assumed that it's your memories that have been edited. You know, they've somehow, at the end of the encounter, they've re-edited your memories, but they haven't. What they've done is they've messed with your perception, so you see what you want to see. But no, it was really weird, because at the end, you know, when I heard it going downstairs, its footsteps were huge. It was like thump, 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 because I had bare wood stairs at the time. And I remember during the actual experience thinking, how is my cat making that much noise going down the stairs? But I was determined, no, it's definitely my cat. But then as soon as I could move my feet, oh, there's my cat at the foot of my bed. And as well, straight after that, as soon as the paralysis lifted, I was really freaked out. Because obviously there's the cat on my foot of my bed, so I'm like, oh my God, something just happened. And this was the first event since learning that, you know, I was an abductee. So I was freaked out. I was thinking, was that an abduction experience? What's going on? So I tried to, because my girlfriend was in bed with me, I tried to wake her up, but then I couldn't speak. I had no vocal cords at all. It was like I was trying to make sound, but nothing was coming out. I could breathe, but I couldn't make sound. So I remember sitting there and just going, like making an ah sound with my mouth open, and then just all of a sudden it just went ah, like someone had just flicked a switch and my voice came back. So I wake my girlfriend up and I just turn to her and I'm like shaking. I'm like, Sarah, and she wakes up and she's like, what is it? And I've just realized, what am I going to do? Am I going to tell her what I think just happened? So I'm like, oh, nothing. I just had a nightmare. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry. And then I went back to sleep. I mean, I think she went back to sleep. I laid down and I'm just laid there thinking, what the hell just happened to me? Shortly after because I read a book. It was Dr. John Mack's Abduction. And that was the book that made me realize I'd actually been through all this, you know, all this stuff that was happening in the book to all these people was exactly what had happened to me. So shortly after that, my girlfriend went to Germany. And so at the time I was unemployed. I'd just quit college. I was just living my own and I was super paranoid because I'd just read this book. It just turned my whole life upside down because I became something of a hermit because as soon as I learned what had happened, that I was part of this, I probably, for a couple of months at least, I just didn't want to see people. I was terrified because I just didn't know what was real anymore. And while my girlfriend was in Germany, I didn't leave the house. I remember I slept. She was my primary contact with the world at that time, just because literally I went off the rails completely. I didn't drink or anything like that, so I didn't have any vices or anything like that, other than I think I became agoraphobic for a short period. So when she left for Germany, I didn't leave the house at all. While she was away, I slept for, it must have been like, I'd say 30 hours. I had, because literally I decided I didn't want to leave the house. I didn't want to do anything. So I stayed home and I just slept. I remember sleeping through the day. I'd had a night's sleep, woke up, stayed in bed, and then slept through most of that day. And then that, the night after that, at about early hours of the morning, I started to feel really dizzy. It was weird because it felt like the room was spinning, but it felt like it was spinning vertically. So my head was going backwards, but my feet were coming upwards. And that it was really weird. It was really vivid and really weird. I just went with it because I thought, this is weird. This is interesting and new. And it wasn't scary at that point. I just thought it was really kind of odd. So I'm spinning and then I decided to stop myself. And the way I decided to stop myself was just grab something going past me. Just imagine myself grabbing something to stop the world from spinning. So I did that. And as soon as I did it, as soon as I tried to grab to stop myself, I felt myself catapult out of my body across the room. As soon as I did that, I could see the whole room around me and everything was lit like silvery kind of light, like moonlight. And I could move myself just by thinking, just by, you know, there was no effort at all. I was completely weightless. So I'm looking around the room and as I'm looking, I can hear what sounds like an argument going on outside. And from the ground, from where my body is, I could hear an alarm going off. So I'm turning round, and as I'm turning round, I see what looks like a cat on a chair in my living room. And that, for some reason, that freaked me out because my girlfriend at the time had a cat that had recently died. And for some reason, I put two and two together and thought, oh, it's a ghost of a cat. Ooh, a ghost. So I jumped back in my body because I thought, I need to get back in my body. And as soon as I had the thought, get back in your body, I was in my body. So I opened my eyes and the room's in pitch blackness because it was the middle of the night. I had heavy curtains, so there's no light in the room at all. So I got up, turned my living room light on because I was actually sleeping in my living room at the time because I think I was in a depression at the time. So I was just sleeping on my sofa. Then I was sleeping on the floor when I had this experience. And I turned my light on and I look at the chair where this ghost cat was and there's my dressing gown. And my dressing gown's heaped up and the belt of my dressing gown is hanging down. And I put my head where I last remember being and it looked just like a cat. And I'm like, oh my God. You know what I mean? Because it's the experience itself felt one up from reality. It was so real, it was more real than reality. It was like super raw. So I knew it was real. But then when I saw my dressing gown in the little heap looking like a cat, I thought, no, that's confirmation. That's it. It's real. So I had that experience. So flash forward to about a week and a half later, my girlfriend's got back from Germany and her parents have gone on holiday. So they asked her to house sit for them while they're away. So I went to my girlfriend's house staying over. Again, we're sleeping in the living room, which it's not a Yorkshire thing. it was obviously she had a single bed and they had like camping bedrolls. So we're sleeping on bedrolls on their living room floor. So we could just sleep together basically. And I remember waking up in the middle of the night, just paralyzed. And I could see three entities in the living room with me. The wrinkly brown dude, which that's just how I think of him. There was a grey wearing a cloak, which I took to be a female grey because I don't know why, but you couldn't really tell because it was a grey. You know, it seemed quite genderless, but it was taller than a normal grey. And then with them, there was a normal grey. That's all I could remember of that event. So going back to my regressions back in 96, because after my first regression, we'd agreed Eric would come back, just see what else we could learn. And that encounter had just happened. So I was like, I want to remember that because that was, you know what I mean? I think it was like the week before that the regression. I remembered everything exactly the same, except again, I was lifted up, taken through the window, almost exactly the same experience as had happened in David's house. I remember zooming up, and as I'm flying up to this whatever's above me, it's a huge disc. It was colossal. I'd say it was probably a couple hundred feet above the houses, and I'd say it was about the size of like a football stadium. It was massive. It had red lights ringing it, and in the middle it had two blue lights, one of which I was flying towards. I remember being, again, very similar to the encounter at David's house. I was taken into a room, except everything was bigger. There were like ribs, almost like pillars around the walls with like oval shapes between them. And again, it was the spotlight above me, the manhole, the conical ramp going up to the floor, except everything looked moulded. And it was all the walls were sort of metallic, you know, aluminium looking kind of metal. It was kind of like a dull silvery walls. The floor were black. But yeah, I remember being led to the edge of the room, stripped again, led out of the room, except this time I was led into a massive, massive hall with like, it was, again, it was all ribbed, but it was, you know, it was like, it's like being inside a whale with all these ribs around the walls. But at the top of the ribs, there was these spotlights. And so I look up and it's just a ring of lights. But then around me, there was probably about 30 creatures, but they were just completely varied. It wasn't just greys. I remember seeing giant insects like praying mantis. I can remember the upper body, but I can't remember the lower body, because the only time I got a close up of them was when they actually laid me on a bench. So I remember one coming over to me and seeing this praying mantis upper body, which, you know, is absolutely terrifying. I remember on the way to the bench, I remember seeing these giant lizard creatures, I'd say they were about 9 foot tall. They had these long, like almost brontosaurus necks with these horse-like faces, which terrifying. They looked like something from Jurassic Park. It was absolutely terrifying. So yeah, I remember being led to the bench, laid down, and then while I'm laid there, I could see the edge of a big screen above me, like a television screen above me, but I couldn't see what was on it. I could just see the light of it. And while I'm laid there, it was like a hatch lid was sort of lowered onto me. So it wasn't touching me, but it was just above my body. And while I'm laid there, I could feel the lower this thing onto me. And shortly afterwards, I start feeling myself spinning in almost exactly the same way I remembered spinning during my out-of-body experience. So then during the regression, I'm feeling myself literally being pulled from my body. So I'm going with it in the regression. While I'm in the regression, I can feel it happening, like in my house while I'm being regressed, because it was such a vivid experience that as I'm going through it in the regression, I can feel myself going through it in the room while it's happening. And then at that moment, my girlfriend walks into the living room because she'd finished work early, because we timed the regression while she was at work. So she walks into the living room and I just snap awake and don't remember anything else from the experience. But we actually talked about, me and Eric, maybe trying again at a later date and actually seeing if they can kickstart an out-of-body experience, which I was fascinated by the idea of actually doing that, because it's from having had an out-of-body experience, I kind of knew that it wasn't dangerous. It sounds like it would be. It sounds like you're dying, but when I came to after the experience, I was fine. I literally leapt up and turned my light on, so I knew my body wasn't in any distress. But yeah, so I didn't remember anything else from the encounter. It was literally the spinning and then just suddenly out of the regression. So I don't know what happened. I know up to that point, I can vividly remember seeing all these different creatures. I can remember having the spinning experience, and that's it. But what I found really interesting is that shortly before that encounter, I'd had an out-of-body experience. And while I was having the out-of-body experience, I could hear what sounded like an alarm coming from my body. So I'm now convinced that they knew that I'd had that experience and they were trying to recreate it for whatever reason. I've no idea. That I think that that out-of-body experience then kicked off my, probably all my abductions in the mid-90s, which, and, you know, which was weird because that out-of-body experience was actually kicked off by me reading and learning alien abductions. So it's almost like a circle where it's like me learning about it kicked off the out-of-body experience and that kicked off my abductions, which, you know, that didn't help me. That's it. That's all I can remember.
Telepath is a weekly digital newsletter filled with the latest paranormal news, trending topics, and fresh articles from some of the most popular critical thinkers in the community today. Stay informed on your favorite paranormal podcasts and live streaming talk shows. Interact with the Telepath and upload your paranormal story or pics. It could be featured in an upcoming edition. Sign up right now for the free Telepath newsletter at paranormal.radio. That's paranormal.radio.
Living in Keighley, we were friendly with the neighbours across the road. So one night, we were invited to go over, you know, for drinks on the patio. So we went over one night. We're just happily getting merry. Well, it was summer night, you know, so, you know, we were just drinking till the sun went down. And then while we're talking, and as I'm getting more and more drunk, I remember seeing this giant owl swoop down and land on the edge of the roof of the next door neighbor's house, because this is Keighley, so all these houses were terraced. So on the we sat on the patio, but you basically sat on the street, because in Keighley your front yard is literally, it's about 5 foot long. So we just sat there getting drunk, and I look up, I'm like, wow, look at that owl. And they all look and they can't see anything. And I'm like, no, it's right there, the giant owl that's looking right at us. And what I'm looking at, it's not a barn owl, it's like a giant hawk owl. And it's looking right at us. And I'm just like, well, what's going on? I don't remember what happened after that. I remember hours later getting up, saying goodnight to everyone and going back to our house. But I don't remember, from me seeing the owl to that point, I don't remember what happened. So I would be terrified to try and get back in contact with those neighbours again and see what their memories of it were, because I wouldn't want to drag anyone else into it, but I think that was an abduction memory. The problem is, obviously, I was drinking at the time. I can vividly remember saying to everyone, look at that owl. Look at that amazing owl on the corner of the roof. And they're all looking at me like, what owl? What are you seeing? And then that's all I can remember of that. I mean, I've got a bunch. I've got so many stories that's like that, where it's just something happens and it's odd. It's because of the way the memories go. I can remember the start of encounters. Sometimes I can remember the end of them, but I very rarely get anything from the middle. Or if I do, it'll just be a flash. Like I remember seeing the brown guy yelling at me, you know, the wrinkly guy. Or I can remember, let's think of another one. I can remember an abduction where I remember post some kind of medical thing. So I remember sitting up on a bench, standing up, being talked to by the wrinkly brown guy. I remember being near the female, and then I remember a screen in front of me showing some point in the future on Earth where there's been some ecological disaster. And then I can remember that screen just expanding, and then gradually, stood on a hill looking at all this destruction. So what I remember happening is the screen just expanding, and then to the point where it was like a hologram, where suddenly I'm in the scene and I could smell the smoke, because it was like something terrible had happened. There was buildings burning, the sky was black, and it was in Bolton. I could tell you the hill that I was stood on in this experience where I'm looking at all this. But then that's all I can remember. I don't remember how that encounter started. I don't remember the end of it. I just remember that event. Because it's an unassociated memory, I have that memory, but I couldn't tell you when it happened or how it happened or anything like that. But I have a ton of memories like that. It's really disjointed. I mean, I've got another one where I remember being in a city that's not on Earth. It's all brownstone buildings. They're all slightly rounded. They all have arched windows. And then above me, there's a temple or some kind of building. It looked like a temple. And it's been suspended on four bridges directly above me. And this thing, this building is huge. I'd say it's like, I don't know, it's like a cathedral. But it's suspended about probably 100 feet above me. And it's actually, these bridges extend down to the outside of the city that I'm in. And I remember that as a physical experience, but I don't know how that happened. I don't know if it was another one of these illusions that they showed me, you know, where I saw the burning Bolton, or whether it was, I don't think I was on an alien world, but I mean, I have that memory, if you know what I mean. But, and I know that city is the brown guy's homeworld. And I know that he was showing me his homeworld. And I don't know how he was showing me, but I have that memory. But it's not associated with anything. It's just that memory. I've got a ton like that. It's frustrating, if anything. Because obviously, if you try and narrativize it all, like all my experience from beginning to end, there's a middle bit there where I can't... I've got all these little things that I've seen, but I can't put them in the story almost. It's almost like I just have these memories that just go nowhere. It's very it's frustrating. You know, I've got those physical memories from the regressions. I've got the memory that I had when I was a little kid seeing the grey outside my window. Those are the most physical memories I have. But then other than that, I've got these little random snapshots.
Now, you've just released a full account of your experiences on Kindle.
Yes. Yeah, I have. See, what I've done, the first half of that book, tried to put all of my encounters in a linear story, which is hard because obviously there's a lot of... I've actually probably a couple paragraphs of just random memories that I can't tie to specific encounters. And then after all that, because back in 96, I saw something that triggered my memory. On a documentary. It was like a science documentary. The second half of the book is me following that thread to try and unearth things that I feel like I've learnt with during my abduction experiences. It's very hard to explain. It's basically I feel like I was shown things by the brown entity. You know, the wrinkled brown creature. I think as a child, if I asked that creature things, he was happy to answer them. And I think I went through a period where I was interested in science, where I was asking him science questions, and I feel like I got answers. So what I did for quite a few years is I would try and tie together things that I remember being told. Like, I remember being told that photons don't move, which is insane. If you know anything about the science of photons, photons definitely move. But I remember being told that, and then trying to tie that to things I've learned, you know, just studying science in the world. And I've tried to build a model of reality that I think I've been given during my encounters. The sad thing is, I don't remember the specifics of how I was told these things. I can't remember the abductions themselves. But what tends to happen is I'll see something on a show, and I'll recognize it, and I can feel a weird deja vu that happens. So I'll use that almost like a connect the dots, and I'll try and figure out how that fits in to what we actually know about the universe. And then I've tried to build that into a full explanation of, you know, a fuller explanation of reality than we actually have, which it seems completely insane. But if you actually read it, it does all make sense. It makes a weird kind of sense how everything fits together using the things that I learned during my abductions. But yeah, it's an odd book. I mean, the first half of it, you know, it's just your basic, you know, retelling of abduction encounters. But then the second half gets a little bit odd. It goes into quantum physics. It goes into an explanation to how gravity works, what gravity actually is, time and space, things like that. I'd recommend, if you read it, I mean, by all means, take it all with a pinch of salt, but read it and see if it makes sense to you, because to me, I want to see if that bit has value, because I've built up this model using stuff that I feel like I've learned, and then just tried to make sense of it. And I'm just trying to share it to the world and see what people think. But yeah, that's my book.
For the audience interested in Mike's book, Alien Revelations.
That's the one.
You can find a link in the description, and it's available on Kindle.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
If there's me who has had all this weird stuff, but I never tell anyone, how many people like me are there? There must be, you know, worldwide, there must be millions.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
It's not something you can just go and tell your neighbour.
No, exactly, yeah.
Can't tell your colleagues, like, you know, like you've already expressed earlier.
Well, the only person in my life that knows about it is my girlfriend, who I've been with since the beginning. I mean, she was there for my early regressions, but then she, when I you know, when she interrupted that one regression,
yeah.
Me and Eric were talking about, you know, because the stuff that had happened, and she realized in that moment that they'd come into the room while she was sleeping next to me, and that terrified her, because she had two options at that point. She could either believe that I am completely insane, or that there were creatures coming in the night while she was sleeping, and neither of those possibilities were great for her. So ever since then, I've just shielded her from it all, because it's just not nice. It's not nice to think about. It gave me agoraphobia, you know, and I've had insomnia on and off throughout my life. It's not easy to deal with. Obviously, you know, I've not really had anything happen for over 10 years, so I think now I just feel like it's the time to, if not publicly talk about it, at least put it out there and let other people, you know.
I really appreciate you coming on today and sharing your encounters with the audience.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.